We've been doing this throughout the last few weeks of the summer. Our women of the news, and we've had a variety of different women in who have worked for a variety of stations. But we are very excited today because joining us now from NBC5, you see her locally every day. It is Laura Harris.
Thanks, guys, for having me. This is awesome.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
The live studio audience clap. I love it.
They love you. They love you. So I think this is the first time we've met in person, but we did speak about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Because you were in Tokyo for the Olympics, and somehow I convinced you to call in a few times to talk about Olympic coverage. And we had to coordinate the times. Of course, she's in Japan, and I'm up here at 11:45 at night or midnight trying to make sure that everything was okay. And as we talked about this before you got on the air, you said, I can't believe it was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It feels like time is flying by.
Well, because we've had, what, Paris Olympics summer?
Right.
We've had a Winter Olympics between then. It's just time is... It's wild, especially when you think of it in sports terms, you know, because there's just so many things that happen so quickly.
Yeah.
Five years ago.
How was that experience over there for the Olympics? It felt like it was a lot of work, but it felt like it was kind of fun.
Yeah. You know, Tokyo was just different. It was 2021. They had to kind of delay the Olympics because of COVID. So that was just a different experience. And that was my first Olympics actually covering it live and there. So it was interesting, but Tokyo was just an amazing place. I don't know that I have seen the things that we saw when we were in Tokyo. I love to go back through those pictures and just kind of, oh my goodness, that was, you know, some of the oldest temples in the world and just some really awesome things. And then Paris happened in 2024, and that was just next level too. It's incredible to see sports on the backdrop of all these amazing buildings and just culture, that sort of thing. It's just, that's what I love about the Olympics so much, is there's so many stories to be told on the sports side, but then you want to show everybody everything else is happening too.
Right. Yes.
So are you now the Olympic correspondent? You going to LA in 28?
I think we're all just working on it, you know.
Okay.
There's so many stories to be told. This is the first Summer Olympics that's going to be back in the United States in more than 30 years. I mean, the last time it was 1996 in Atlanta. So there is enough work to be done across all platforms.
Right.
You know, we'll have several events that are happening in OKC, lots of stuff happening in LA. So it's just going to be, it's going to be amazing, but it's going to be wild.
That's a weird one because they're doing softball in OKC because of the complex they have up there where their Women's College World Series are. And they're doing kayaking or something else there too, I think.
Yeah, and I think they're calling it Rapid, so that'll be there.
Whatever they call it,
There's just, they're going to spread it out over a distance. You know, people coming from other countries might be like, oh, that's not that far. Wow. Like the opening ceremony is in LA, but you also have to go to OKC.
Right. Yeah. You're not hopping in a car and driving to OKC.
Right.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Thing. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, there's a lot of Olympics that are like that. I mean, I remember in Paris, the shooting arena was 3.5 hours away from where we were in the center of Paris. So it happens like that, but it's just funny, like when it's in your own backyard, you're like, no, that's really far.
Right.
Like we might have to fly to get there.
Yeah. So the experience in Tokyo and France, I'm pretty sure is different because of the times.
Mm-hmm.
And Tokyo is 21, just coming off of COVID. Did you find those games in Paris were a little more freeing? You have more access and everything because it was kind of wide open and it changed your experience of covering from one to the other?
Wide open. And the families got to go. So in Tokyo, nobody was allowed to come. It was just the athletes and us, and there were strict protocols.
Right.
Paris, everybody was allowed in. So it was just, you've never seen joy than when you see a parent or a guardian, somebody that's raised someone since they were 5 or 6 years old, and they found a sport that they absolutely loved, and then they get to watch them on the world stage. It's nothing like that feeling. I mean, it's one thing to see these athletes because it's rare air, right? You're sitting there and you're like, this is literally the best person in the world. But then when you get to talk to their parents and their siblings about that person, I can think of Hesley Rivera. She was 16 at the time, youngest person on Team USA. We had like 500 members. And I talked to her dad and her mom, and I was just like, what does this mean to you? They had no words. Like, you can't describe it. It's that beautiful.
So you've gotten to cover, just kind of reading your story, so many different things and travel so much. Did you anticipate when you got into this profession that you would be traveling and covering some of these events in different locations all over the world?
You know, I don't think I ever thought about it. So yeah. I started as a sports reporter. That's what I wanted to do growing up.
And like then, ESPN type stuff? Or?
That's what I wanted to do. When I graduated from college, I ended up at CNN Sports in Atlanta. That's where I'm from. And I was literally a sports logger. So my job was to sit. This is back in the day. Kids these days won't know what this was like. But I had to go in a room. It was a bunch of us sitting like kind of in cubicles. And I got paid $10 an hour to watch sporting events. And I had to log every play. And you log it in the computer. And then it goes to an editor. And that editor would edit it. And that's the melt that you would see on CNN Sports. So that's how I got started. So never in my life did I think that these were going to be the things that I was doing, right? Yeah. I was just, I knew I kind of wanted to be on camera, but I didn't know how that was going to work out. And then, you know, I've just kind of moved around. I stayed in the Southeast for a long time. Then I moved out here to Texas. It has been nothing but a blessing to be able to do all this traveling. And like I said, I never imagined that it would happen to me. My first big trip out of the country where I had to use a passport was Cuba. And it was just, it was in 2014, I think I went the first time because we went twice and it was just amazing. Like 90 miles from Florida, but I thought I was going like a world away and I was so excited. I got to stamp my passport. Yes, kids, that was when you stamp passports. Now they're still doing it. Where?
They're still doing it. I went to Curacao and got a stamp. Yeah.
I have been to 3 different countries and they didn't stamp us. And we were like, Come on.
That's the whole purpose of having the passport.
What do? They just look at it or what?
They scan your face.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh,
they scan your face now and
face
you can
ID
just
everything
walk
now,
yeah. on through. So it, there's no more of that.
It's almost like the event, concert, sporting event, that you don't get the printed tickets now.
Oh, the physical ticket.
Right, and that's what you wanted in a passport. You want to look at it, and especially when it expires and you can't use it anymore. You go back and, that's that trip. Oh, that's trip. Yeah. Every time I go and they don't stamp it, I give them a side eye.
Speaking of, did you guys have turtles here? Because I've only lived here for 7 years. Did you have a place called Turtles? It was a place in Atlanta that they sold records and tapes and things like that. But anyway, that's where we would buy our concert tickets.
Okay, bro. Yeah, I went to Sound Warehouse.
Yeah, I bring
that up so much.
What's
because I'm an old man. It was
Sound
called Sound Warehouse.
Sound Warehouse. Yeah.
So
okay.
You said Turtles. I was like, there was a bar in the West End called Gators.
No.
I actually thought she meant the animal.
No.
I was like, do you have turtles around here?
It was
like,
a store called Turtles.
I saw one in my backyard like 2 weeks ago, but
it's Laura Harris from NBC5 joining us here in studio. So you did say are you born and raised in Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so where did you go to college?
I went to Georgia Southern.
Okay. Georgia Southern?
Yeah, that's it's in Statesboro, Georgia. It's like 45 minutes outside of Savannah, and I played soccer there. It was one of the greatest experiences of my life. But then, like I said, after I went to school to be a sports agent, I thought I was going to be the next Jerry Maguire because that was hot at the time.
Okay.
And then I realized I probably needed to go to law school for that. And I was like, nah, that's going to happen. Then my sister ironically ended up going to law school. So whatever. But yeah, so that's how it kind of all got started. And you look back on it, it's just like you asked me, did I ever think that this was going to happen like this? No.
So how did you foray into, because you mentioned how you were behind the camera, you didn't know if you would be on the camera if you wanted to. What was your first experience actually being on camera and starting to, whether it was sports or news or whatever it was?
Yeah, such a great question. So when I interned at CNN and I also interned at the NBC affiliate in Atlanta, they give you like a couple reps in front of the camera. Nothing goes on air, but you just get to kind of see yourself. And it just kind of was something where I was like, oh, this is really cool. You know, I'm enjoying this. And I really love to tell people stories. That was kind of, and I love to tag along with these. And at the time, the entire sports department was men at the time. Like every sports thing that I went to go do, I was the only woman who was there. And we covered a lot of Atlanta Falcons and Flowery Branch at the time. So I would go there. It would be maybe me and another woman and 30 other guys. Mm. And it was just an interesting experience because never had I thought that there was something weird about that, because at the time, nobody was really talking about women's sports like they're talking about it right now. I always knew I was an athlete and I wanted people to know those stories, but it was just like, wow, this is just kind of the way that it is. And to see it evolve the way that it has just been so beautiful, so beautiful.
Did you think soccer was going to take you places when you played, or did you know, okay, that's a... high school, college thing, and then I'll be done.
Oh, I knew I was going to be done.
Okay.
I was not. Listen, you know how you're in high school and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm the best
at this.
I got a full scholarship. I was, oh my goodness, I was like player of the year in my county. I was the best goalkeeper that they had. I had all these records, blah, blah, blah. I went to college and it was really quick. Like, it was humbling. So, like, immediately. So I get there. Freshman year, it was me and another freshman. I played my freshman year. I played my sophomore year, and then I got hurt. Somebody else came up, and it was... And
that's
I said, oh, this is not going to be what I do after. And I quickly... Like, I graduated from college in 3.5 years. I said, this is not...
I'm out.
I don't need to do 5 or 6 years. Right. And now these kids with NIL now, but I just... I knew it was over.
So with you playing soccer, have you been a lot into the World Cup here?
Oh, it's been amazing. Oh, goodness. I'm going to be so sad when it's over. It's just been really cool. And it's what I have found is that it's very rare that my husband, myself, and our 8-year-old, my 8-year-old stepson have something that we all want to watch. Everybody's got to watch a different TV. This has been the one thing that we all want to sit and watch. Hmm.
That's cool.
And that has been beautiful.
That's cool. All right. It's 12:28. Lunchtime with the Invasion rolls along. We are sitting with Laura Harris. She's here in studio from NBC5. We'll talk more about the journey and maybe what else she wanted to do as she was growing up. But she's here. We're talking life, love, and music. I don't know. That's next here on The Ticket.
We call ourselves The Little Ticket for a reason.
Rolling along and glad to have you because we are chatting with Laura Harris of NBC5 all about... What'd you say? Life, love, and music.
I think that's what I said, yeah. I don't know why that came out. It. Sounds like it's on a t-shirt somewhere or something.
Learning all the fun things about Laura.
That's right. So I would love to know the journey of, you said you interned in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. What's the road that got you here to Dallas?
Yeah, so I interned in Atlanta, and then I went to I got a job. Gosh, I graduated. I got out of school early. It's important to mention that part. I don't want people to think I came straight out of school and got the job, and... So I got out of Georgia Southern early, and then September of 2008, I got a job in a small market right about 2 hours outside of Atlanta. It was called Toccoa, Georgia. There were two roads, like literally one way in, one way out.
Okay.
It was exciting to go to the Walmart and the Captain D's. That's where we were.
Captain D's.
Captain D's was amazing. And so then...
Was that doing news at that time?
It was. Okay. I was a general assignment reporter because I wanted to be a sports reporter, but they were like, well, we don't have that job right now, but we've got this general assignment. You can come do this. And I like to say that my success in this career is a sum of all of my mistakes and how hard I have worked because that place, it saw my mistakes. Like, okay, but that was the first... time I'd ever been on camera on live TV.
Crazy.
So I did weather. I was doing the weather. I did it all. So I ran my own teleprompter, did all the things. So then I was there for about a year. I moved to Athens, Georgia, was there for about another year. Then I went to Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay.
Loved it there. I was there for two years. I worked for the ABC affiliate there as the morning anchor. I left there. Went to Tampa, Florida, and I was there for 6 years. I started off as a morning reporter, kind of climbed the ranks and became one of their evening anchors there. And then a job for a weekend anchor at night came up at the station that I'm at right now. And everybody in Tampa told me, they said, you're crazy to leave here. Like, you're one of the main anchors. You could write your own ticket. It's Tampa, Florida. The beach is right here. Like, look outside the window.
Yes.
You have everything here. Like, why are you leaving? Your family's in Atlanta. It's only a 6-hour drive. Why would you go literally halfway across the country to go do this? And I was just like, because I just feel like it's something that I should be doing. And I moved, and I mean, it's been the greatest move of my life, truly.
Is that the first time you applied for a job in Dallas when you got this job?
It was.
Okay.
Because I was, you could tell that I was kind of just sticking around the Southeast.
Right.
I was just kind of trying to stay close to Atlanta if I could help it. But it was one of those things where a job came open and I tried for it and I didn't think I was going to get it. It was just more or less like, you know, I really want to try for myself and just see what might happen. And I got it.
That feels like that's always the mindset. I'll just apply and see.
Right.
Maybe they'll tell me what I need to work on.
Yeah.
And all this. And then all of a sudden, boom, you got to go, whoa, what is, wasn't
Instead
expecting
of just
that.
Maybe walking into the interview and saying, what if it all works out? I was just like, we'll see what happens.
Yes. Man, that's so when you were in Athens, did you get to do any sports then with Georgia being right there?
I did. So I did a little bit of sports with the sports. And when I tell you our sports department was small, it was two guys. It was the sports director and one of the reporters. And so a couple times they let me go out and shoot my own stuff. That's important to note that I would shoot, write, edit all my own stuff.
Yeah, you learned all the behind the scenes.
There you go. And right. When you shoot anybody who's ever shot football knows what that's like, or golf, how hard it is to follow the ball. So I felt like once I had done that, I could do anything. If you can shoot golf off the shoulder, you could shoot anything. You can do anything. And then now we've got these cell phones that shoot video. That's incredible. It's just like
true, they're making movies off cell phones now.
Right. Yeah. We did all that work, but it's just been an incredible journey.
It's Laura Harris, NBC5 in studio with us. Was that always the dream for you to be in some sort of sports/entertainment, or did you have other aspirations early on?
I love sports. I have loved them all of my life. I'm not good at many of them. I tried basketball. I tried swimming. I tried golf. I can somewhat play tennis on a good day. I'm not a pickleballer. I could go on and on and on. When I found soccer when I was 10, it was one of the greatest and coolest things in my life. So I just kept playing, and I became the goalkeeper because I didn't want to run. I was like, oh, I'll do that.
Right down
this, I don't have to run with you guys. I'll go running. Do that.
Right.
But I was actually really good at it. So that's just kind of how it's been. And my family loves sports. I think we've just been a sports family because it's something that will bring all of us together. You know, I'm an Atlanta Falcons fan. Guys, please don't write in. They know that from my social media.
I will
always be an Atlanta Falcons fan. Kind of like people from Dallas. Like, they will always be a Cowboys fan. I mean, we hang on to the Braves every year and hope that they'll save us. But it's just, sports have always been a part of my life. I love it so much. If I could cover sports, that's why when I get to cover the Olympics, it is about those athletes and it's about the sports. But it's as much of a joy for me as it is for them.
You're scratching that itch a bit.
You get to finally go back to where it all began. And I just love it so much.
Let's just tell Nui, hey, why don't I get to go out to Cowboys camp this year?
Come on. Send me out there.
I love watching Nui's reports from Oxnard because I enjoy so much him and Pat when they interview, like the long form interviews, like with Dak and Jerry and all the things, because it just kind of shows like that human side of them, right? You see these people on TV every day, and then you finally get to see them have a conversation with a human being. You're like, oh, okay. Not just like me in that, you know, you're doing a lot more than I am. But these people are human beings, too.
So have you gotten to a point now, and again, this is Laura Harris from NBC5, that you love some of the news stories that you get to cover, like, like the hardcore news or whatever you might consider the hardcore news, or in like, for instance, I don't know, politics aside, but something like the Republican National Convention is going to be in Dallas this September, which I imagine would probably be a cool thing just to, from a news perspective.
Right. Yeah. You know, I've covered a Democratic National Convention and I've covered a Republican National Convention. And you talk about sports. That's what it's like in there. I mean, they're on the microphone introducing people. It's like you're going into the octagon. Mm. It's incredible. And if you've never been to one, because it's not really something that the average person like us would just go into.
Man, I've always wanted to.
I was just in there covering it, and it was on both sides, Republicans and Democrats. It is a very interesting and exciting event to watch. It's over days, right? So everybody's there, and they've got all these speakers, and there's all kinds of things happening. But it's just really cool. And just to watch the democratic process in that way, because that's something that we usually don't see, right? So I would say that that's probably the coolest part.
So what's the day like for Laura Harris? Are you waking up really early to...
I get up early. I get up at 2. I get up at 2 a.m. So I'll write it down for you. I get up at 2 a.m. I try to be in the car by 2:45.
Okay.
And then I'm driving... And I say the reason I'm driving, because it takes me about 20 minutes to get to work. And it's always like you keep your eagle eye out because there's just crazy things that happen on the roads at that time of the morning. I usually get to work just a little bit before 3 or right at 3. We have a morning editorial meeting at 3:30, reading scripts between then and 5. Show starts from 5 to 7. Then we do a streaming show from 7 to about 7:15. And then we kind of take a break. We have a 7:30 editorial meeting. 8 o'clock, we do another streaming show. Then you get a little bit of time. 9:15, there's an editorial meeting for the day. And then if I'm doing the midday show, I have a pre-record at 10:15 with the Dallas Morning News. Then we do the show at 11. 11:35, we're usually, like, the day is over. If you don't have all this other stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
What time do you usually try and go to bed at night?
That's the question I had. Yes.
I would like to go to bed at 2 p.m., but I cannot do that.
You would like to. I think we all would
sometimes. So I try to be asleep no later than 7.
How?
Yeah, you know, we were talking. Well, I have blackout curtains, but when you were talking about the daylight saving time thing, people who work the shift that we work and like the overnight shift and like the third shift people,
you want it to be dark.
Oh my gosh, right. When it gets dark at 4:30 in the afternoon, I'm like, oh, and everybody else in America hates it. And I'm like, because it's hard to go to sleep when it's light outside. So the blackout curtains help. But, you know, it's just sometimes your brain is just moving so fast that you can't fall asleep at that time of day. Like, there's just no way.
Man.
Such is life.
Yeah, I'm just too nosy. I'm too nosy to go to bed that early.
You want to know what's going on?
Yeah, I have to. I have to know what's happening.
Well, I just love my job so much. I love what I do so much. I never take it for granted. And I mean, I think it's impossible to do something at this capacity, at this level, if you don't love
it. Right.
But it is that it's difficult for anybody. Like the human being is not supposed to wake up at 2 a.m. So we just figured it out.
No, I don't know that anybody has that circadian rhythm.
No.
I'm over caffeinated constantly.
Okay. So it's Laura Harris from NBC 5. This September will be 8 years for you here in Dallas.
Oh, my gosh.
Did I just remind you of that?
You're right.
Yeah, 8 years.
I got
years.
Here in 2018.
So is this what you would imagine the big market news hoopla would be when you were in the other markets dreaming of going to the big market?
You know, I always tell people that I don't put too much merit on what is supposed to be, right? So, like, I'm living in the moment wherever I am at that moment. When I moved to Dallas, I will tell you, coming from Atlanta, that was the big city, and that's where I'm from. It was eye-opening in a way. I had no idea that Dallas was a lot like Atlanta. I had no idea. Because, you know, you see it on TV, you see the TV show, you see Dallas Cowboys, the whole thing. And it's just like, wow. And I have to say, 4:15 on the East Coast, most Sundays was the Cowboys game in Atlanta. That was America's game. Okay. That was the game we always got. So you get like the skyline shots and all the things. That was my idea of what Dallas was. So when I got here, it was definitely big market feel, but at the same time, it almost felt like home. Like Atlanta gave, like Dallas gave me that Atlanta vibe.
Okay.
So when I got here, I don't even know if what I thought it was fulfilled, because it was better than that. It was so much better than that.
Yeah, I think I've been to Atlanta a lot, and I think that they're very, very similar.
Yeah.
The way they're kind of laid out. And Atlanta has more trees and some hills and stuff that Dallas could use.
That's what we say. We have more parks and trees. Right. That's it.
Which is 100% correct. It's way more, especially in that region of the country. So now that you've been here so long, and living in the moment is here in Dallas, but do you ever have those aspirations of trying to go national, of trying to go to New York or LA or being on one of the national type news broadcasts?
Yeah, I used to think about it all the time. I would think about it all the time. Moved here. I'd lived here a few years. And then I met the guy who was going to be my husband. Mm. And that when people tell you that that kind of changes your life, it changed my life in that it showed me that this isn't all that life is, right? So you want a really great job that you love, but you also want to have somebody to spend that with. And so ever since we met, it's just been really cool just seeing life through somebody else's eyes. Like I said, seeing life through my stepson's eyes. And so that has kind of filled that void of wanting to do something in New York or in LA. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just, it's been a really beautiful change, especially for me, because my mind goes 1,000 miles a minute all day, every day. So I'm thinking about what could be, what needs to be, what needs to happen, like foot on the gas constantly.
That's why you can fall asleep at 7 o'clock. You're tired.
Exhausted. And then wake up in the morning and I'm like, did I even sleep? But yeah, now that's such a great question, because I think that's how I think about it, is I look at them and I'm like, this is awesome. Like, living in Dallas is awesome.
It is.
You know?
It is.
Yeah. I'm born and raised here. So
I
haven't had the pleasure of leaving to go work anywhere else. I've always been here. So
that's,
it's really
awesome.
Cool. I know. It's not
amazing.
Typical as far as this business goes at all, but it's been fun. Well, we cannot thank you enough for coming in and joining us. Very nice to meet you. Very cool to hear about your story and journey and everything else. And hopefully we can have you on again when the Cowboys play the Falcons. We could talk a little noise around here.
Are they playing the Falcons this year?
I don't know.
I don't think they are. I checked.
Okay, you always have to check when you're here.
I always check.
Like, maybe I missed.
Well, no, I get nervous. The last time I went to a Cowboys-Falcons game, it was bad.
Oh, was that the banana kick that... They came back.
Oh, that weird on the, and they recovered it.
It was a couple years ago, and let's just say I left at halftime.
So that may not have been the banana kick.
It was that bad.
Okay, there was one game where they had to come back, and I thought that was against the Falcons. But maybe
people recognized who I was, and they were like, "Oh, look at you!"
Right. Oh, Falcons, huh? Living in Dallas. Well, thank you again. We truly appreciate the time. Loved hearing your story, and hopefully we can have you on again.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate
it. Laura Harris from NBC5. Lunchtime with the Invasion. Rosalind,
it would have been November 14th of 2021. Atlanta came to Dallas and lost 43-3.
See, that was it.
43-3.
I'm leaving. That was it.
And you left at halftime. Boy, that was a butt kicking right there. All right.
Wow.
See the luck that you brought him, Laura, in that game.